Hey everyone, it's me, and I'm back with a new episode of my Best Vintage Life podcast. My name is Bridget Morawski, and this is my co-host. Hello.
Hello, it's Art.
Art Bazarkanian, welcome back.
I've been here.
You have been here. I'm welcoming the listeners back. Yes, I know you've been here. Anyway, jumping right into our normal little show notes. We have our email, admin@mybestvintagelifepodcast.com. Art just took a picture of me. Email, admin@mybestvintagelifepodcast.com. Social, you can find us on Instagram, although I do think I've been shadow banned and I'm working my way back into Instagram's good graces. Not that I give up what Instagram thinks, but I just, that app is, I feel like it's going to self-implode soon.
Also, I agree.
Also on Pinterest. Website. Check it out. I have the pages set up for our new wholesale sale site, but I don't have anything uploaded yet. Wholesale pricing. We're going to be selling items at an average of our retail and wholesale prices. So it's going to be a really good opportunity for people who don't have a resale license to buy vintage at a discounted price. And there's no minimum or anything like that. It's literally just going to be individual, one-of-a-kind vintage.
You know, every time you say wholesale, I keep thinking hotel, motel, Holiday Inn.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it goes with song. Yeah.
Don't forget to sign up for our monthly Vintage for Business newsletter, which will be going out in September. So you have plenty of time to get signed up for that one.
Yeah, I love reading those.
Yeah.
You like it? I do.
And don't forget to rate and review the podcast. You can do so on Apple Podcasts. We got some really great reviews between the last episode and this episode. And also on Podchaser. Podchaser, you can review from any operating system, any platform. So you can be on, Apple. You can be on PC. You can be on an iPad, iPhone, Droid phone, whatever. You can review on Podchaser. So those are really helpful for us. It puts the podcast out in front of new eyes. And at one point in time, you were a new listener looking for a podcast about vintage. And there's plenty of other people out there that still haven't found the podcast. So it's a really great way to do so organically. Yeah. So thank you.
Let's bring them into the family.
Bring them into the light. Oh, I didn't write down an obsession. I left it blank.
Obsessionless. My obsession is not having an obsession.
It's supposed to be funny and lighthearted.
It is.
Yeah.
That how much funnier can you get about not having it?
Yeah, no.
No, I could tell you what your obsession is right now.
What is it?
Your little matcha lattes.
Oh, yeah. My little matchas.
Yeah. Making. Homemade matchas.
Homemade matchas. I get a little tin of organic ceremonial grade matcha. We talked about this on the bonus episode, but.
Yeah, and you froth it yourself.
And I froth it myself. The frother just ends up breaking up the matcha powder better than like most coffee shops do. $10 little frother I got, battery operated, and make my own little matchas here. I don't drink coffee, so.
Yeah, I think my obsession is that oat milk stuff you got. Oat creamer?
The creamer, yeah. Well, that's what I put in my matcha. It's called Sown.
You said it's goat?
O-W-N. No, oat.
Goat?
Oat.
Oat.
Sown, S-O-W-N, oat milk creamer. And I get the little, like, sweetened one, but it's not bad sweetened.
No, I don't even need to put sugar in it.
No, that's what I love.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really ever use sugar. I know you did. I'm glad to see you using less sugar.
I like my sugar. Like, oh, I like to take a shower. Raw.
Oh. I don't know how else you would take a shower. Maybe you can explain that one to me later.
Denim cutoffs.
Oh, never nude.
Never nude.
Like Tobias.
That's right.
Yunke.
All right, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about sweaters.
Oh, perfect. That's so funny. I was just on a call regarding sweaters, sourcing sweaters. Yes.
Ooh. Tell mama more.
Well, they're coming from up north where the best sweaters are grown.
Okay.
Yeah. Canadian contact.
Ooh,
so
Canada.
Love me some Canada. So yeah, it's going to be
a lot
beautiful.
Of Canadian listeners.
Yeah. So it's going to be some beautiful sweaters. What I like about that is the variety that we get.
Adjusting my mic. Sorry, guys.
So it's a beautiful mix of stuff. Sometimes I get the mix and sometimes I get them already pre-sorted into the categories. So I'm kind of curious to see what kind of categories you have or topics you have for sweaters.
Oh, you just buckle up, my friend. Here we go.
Here we go, yo.
Here we go, yo. Okay. I just also wanted to point out that I've been having a lot of issues with GarageBand, which is the software I use, and our soundboard. I thought updating my Mac would fix it, and it kind of did temporarily, but there's just something's happening with my microphone. Somebody complained about it in a review. They said they feel like they're in the library talking with me.
Well, you do have that voice, and they can just turn up the volume next time instead of complaining.
I mean, all the other episodes are very loud. It's just the last few, it's been challenging, and I don't have a ton of time to sit for like an hour with the fucks at Apple.
Look, man, get on with it. We don't need to make excuses. We do our best.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. First cardigan. So we're going to just talk like categorically speaking. I'm not going to go into the history of sweaters. But yeah, the first category of sweaters I wanted to discuss were cardigans. Is my mic falling?
I've never worn a cardigan, I don't think, on purpose.
Well,
it might have just happened. Like, you know, sometimes I'll throw on something in the warehouse to be funny.
Yeah.
That might have done it. It's just, it's not a good look for me.
Well, you know, not everybody can wear everything.
No, it's a very sophisticated. Actually, you know what? Do you remember that polo, real thick polo, cable knit cardigan I wore?
Oh, you had a gray one, huh?
Yeah. I wore that for a day. I have no
idea.
That's
a shawl collar.
Oh, shawl collar, cardigan.
Yeah. So cardigans started out as being mostly wool with buttons, and eventually they had zippers as well. It was named after the 7th Earl of Cardigan, who wore a woolen type vest, which like it was the early prototype of a cardigan to keep warm during the Crimean War. And I mean, honestly, to me, the most famous examples of cardigans, you have the Lacoste cardigans, and then you have Mr. Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
At that, to me, is just like the cardigan, basically.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, so.
Won't you be my neighbor?
I love cardigans. I actually, that was part of my dress code at my Catholic school growing up. We had burgundy cardigans with like the school's name embroidered on the left chest. That's probably the first time I ever wore one. I don't really remember.
Acrylic or wool? Or blend?
They were, I think, like a wool blend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they weren't 100% wool. It would have been too hot. But I do remember thrifting a cardigan in high school, I want to say. Like just like a cream belted cardigan that I really loved at a thrift store. I probably have a picture wearing it somewhere, I'm sure. But yeah, lots of good memories of cardigans, and I really like them now. I really had to like tailor my sweater collection living here, which was unfortunate. But the ones that I have, I do love, and I do have a cardigan or two.
Yeah, we recently sold, you know, to one client in Tokyo. He came and cleaned us out of like almost 600-700 cardigans.
Or the Lacoste ones, huh?
Anything acrylic. He was only looking for acrylic. So it makes sense with the humidity in Tokyo and doesn't get really too cold where wool is just too much.
Yeah, too much. Anything else you wanted to add about cardigans?
No. No. It's like a timeless thing.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like, you know, almost, you know, all sweaters are that way.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on, there is Coogee. Many of you are familiar with Coogee. It's an Australian brand. It was founded in 1969. The original name was C-U-G-G-I, which I'm assuming was pronounced Coogee. I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. And it was renamed in 1987. I'd say the notorious B.I.G. made the brand pretty popular. He mentioned it once or twice in his songs while he was rapping. And a lot of people think that Bill Cosby on The Cosby Show wore Coogee sweaters, but he actually wore a brand. The designer was Koos Vandenacker. So the Cosby sweater was a little bit more toned down. Like Coogee was a lot more brighter. Well, they're both known for being these kind of like not symmetrical, bright knits, basically.
And very textured.
Yeah, lots of textures.
We used to get so many. We used to get so many of those.
Yeah, I remember people wanting to source them when I worked at Urban Outfitters, and it was just it's so hard to find them.
Yeah, we made bags, and I even found a couple of the bags we made out of those sweaters.
Oh, God.
Little pouches, yeah.
Reworking sweaters is not easy, so that's...
Those were okay. because it was such a tight knit and had texture to it and got weight. Yeah.
Okay. Next, Angora. So the tricky thing about Angora is true Angora is made from a rabbit. Now, where that gets tricky is mohair is made from an Angora goat. So Angora, like the fluffy, super soft, you know what I'm talking about? That very like feminine, fluffy, that's Angora rabbit. Now,
like the cotton candy, feels like cotton candy almost.
Yeah, very light and fluffy. So definitely not a very humane process, not humane at all. They would rip the hair out of the rabbit. It's very sad. And the rabbits would most oftentimes go into shock because of it. And then like 3 months later, once it grew back, they would do it all over again.
Christ.
So Angora is pretty much outlawed. I mean, my opinion on it is if it's vintage and it exists and you want to wear it, that's up to you. I just would not recommend. I don't even know if you can. I'm sure you can buy new Angora. You can buy pretty much anything you want in this world. But I would not recommend it. But I just wanted to set it straight between those two. So
do people have a problem with mohair?
Not necessarily. I'll get into that. So mohair is made from the Angora goat. And the biggest difference, I guess, between the rabbit and the goat is that the goat is sheared. You know, it's not ripped out. It's sheared.
So it's harvested.
Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean the goats are necessarily treated well. You know, so that's the welfare of the animals has always been in question. South Africa is, and I don't know if it still is, but was the largest producer of mohair. But
seriously,
people weren't happy about the way the goats were being treated. I do believe they do some mohair production in Texas. The nice thing about mohair is it dyes really well, which is why you find so many beautifully colored mohair sweaters.
Yeah.
I am of the thought that if it's being done, if the animals are being treated well, I'm not against shearing of sheep or shearing of goats. I don't think that that's necessarily bad as long as they're living a happy life and it's not happening so often that it's like traumatizing to them.
I wouldn't mind being sheared twice a year.
Right. So just keep in mind Angora, there's an Angora rabbit and an Angora goat, and the Angora goat is what
mohair is from.
Yes, exactly. Mohair is produced from the Angora goat. And then we have cashmere, which is also coming from a goat, the cashmere goat. Now, you might also hear cashmere called pashmina, which is a Peruvian word. Typically, people would refer to pashmina as like the more upper tier cashmere. You know what I mean? Like the better made. The thing about...
Same goat, though?
No. Cashmere goat is different than the Angora goat.
No. The pashmina.
Yeah, but I just think it's the way it's produced.
Like where it's harvested, maybe that's under the neck or something. Well,
so the thing about cashmere is only small amounts of what comes off the goat is usable.
Oh.
So that's like the tricky part. And the issue that's come about with cashmere is that the areas in Asia where the goats were feeding, they're ripping out grass at the root. So anything, grass, weeds, whatever. So it's basically killing off vegetation. And also, like, their hooves are
just destroying the ecosystem?
Yeah, basically. Like, wow. They've actually noticed, like, temperature increases because of it. Like, because there's a lot of other air pollution in the area. So the lack of green to help.
With the carbon dioxide. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's a lot of coal-burning fuel in the area. So it's pretty interesting. I know that there's just been a lot more regulation with cashmere.
That explains why, wholesale cashmere prices have gone through the roof.
You're buying cashmere wholesale?
We always do. We always buy cashmere. And and there's always people who are buying it and recycling it. Most of the recycling of cashmere is done in Italy. So we send bales and bales of it to a couple of different people. And they end up making high-end things with it, but repurposing it. Even the ones with hole stains, that's the beauty of it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you do find a lot of it with holes and stains.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's so funny is my, you know how different people would have outfits for Rose Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
Mine always was in the wintertime, a cashmere sweater with a t-shirt underneath and then some military pants. And it would be... like the cheapest cashmere, but it was still better than anything. It was so lightweight, kept me so warm. I would Kirkland, you know, Costco's brand.
Yeah.
So we'd always get it in the mixes. I'd grab those, and Kirkland was actually making size XXL because you don't want anything too tight, you know, when you're working.
Well, I wouldn't count on them probably buying from people with the most ethical practices, though.
Again, it's used.
I know.
So.
Okay. Yeah. Next on my list is crew neck. I don't have much to say about crew neck sweaters, just because crew neck applies to other areas of the fashion world, but I just thought it was good to point out that the name is most likely derived from, boat crew members.
True. Yeah, and I mean, the earliest sweaters I can think of were crew sweaters, cable knit crew sweaters for fishermen.
Even like Aran sweaters, our crew neck. So let's see. Next is Cowichan sweaters. Cowichan. Art makes fun of me for how I say it. Cowichan. I watched a really cool video on this. You can find it on YouTube about how it was made a national icon of Canada. But they are made originally in Southeast Vancouver Island. And basically it was a combination of Euro textiles and Salish spinning. Salish people are linguistically linked tribes of the Pacific Northwest. And then, it kind of got blended with Fair Isle sweater making, which I'll get into later. That's another category. But these sweaters, it's very easy to spot them because they're almost always made with neutral color yarns.
Yeah, the one way you can distinguish them is the motifs. Very totem, thunderbird, things that you would see in Native American paintings, totem poles.
Not Native American, though. It's a Canadian tribe.
Well, it's a Canadian. Americas.
The Pacific Northwest. Americas.
Pacific Northwest. Freaking same continent. So, and then you'll always, like the good vintage ones, will always have a lightning zipper. The brand is Lightning, and it's chunky, and it's nice.
Did you talk about the repetition of patterns? I'm sorry, I was adjusting my microphone again.
The repetition of patterns?
Yes.
The repetition of patterns?
Yeah, how you have...
Gotcha.
How you have it on the back and then on the right and left chest. Yes, okay.
And there's always a pocket or two. There's been variations of it.
Yeah, look up the little video on YouTube. It's like 2 minutes long. It was really interesting watching. I was watching the guy knitting, and it was just...
It's part of the rockabilly... outfit. Rockabilly people love couch and sweaters.
Big Lebowski.
Yeah, his was a Pendleton.
Yeah, but Pendleton.
Right, it's up there.
The design.
Yep.
All right, then I just wanted to mention that, their sweaters are made in Peru and also Bolivia. So you have Peruvian and Bolivian sweaters, which is almost always made from alpaca. And they're typically pretty colorful designs.
They're itchy at the neck. They make a higher neck.
A lot of times you'll see llamas or alpacas on the actual sweater. And I did want to point out a website I found that was really cool. If you want to invest in like some better made, newer clothes, it's called Industry of All Nations. And they sell clothing. It's all very fair trade from people in Guatemala, Bolivia, the United States, and India. And one of the things they had were brand new... Bolivian sweaters made from alpaca, which was really cool.
Yeah, we've got some in here. Have you ever tried one on?
I haven't tried one on, no.
Yeah, you need like two sets of liners on your skin. They're incredibly itchy. Yeah. They're just, it comes up the neck, and if you feel like a little guy is choking you.
You say that about all sweaters.
I got a big neck.
Next sweaters are Aran sweaters. Some people call them fisherman sweaters, but they are basically unbleached wool sweaters. They're a cream color.
Do you know why they're unbleached?
I don't.
It keeps the natural oils in the wool, so it helps prevent with damp, cold air coming in. It's a better insulator. I just know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Aran Islands off the west coast of Ireland is where they were started.
That's Aran.
And that's Aran, A-R-A-N, by the way. Cable knit, there are, multiple different patterns of these sweaters. So there's the cable knit, which represents the cables of the fishermen and kind of like a mark for good luck and safety at sea. And then there's also a basket stitch, which hopes to bring about a bountiful harvest of fish or crustaceans or whatever they're out searching for. So I thought that was so pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, I like the basket stitch ones. They're cute. And then going right into Fair Isle, which I found so fascinating. I knew what they were. I just didn't know the whole background. But
Scotland, right?
No, it's the Shetland. Well, yes, it is Scotland, but it's the Shetland Archipelago off of Scotland is where Fair Isle is. It is an actual island So right now only 50 people live there. It is the least most populated island of the United Kingdom.
Least populated island. Mm-hmm. Wow. 50 people.
50 people. And these were really, they've been around since before 1900, but they became the most popular in the 1920s when Edward VII wore them. He was quite the fashion icon back then. And if you don't know who that is, he was the Prince of Wales who became king and then abdicated the throne. And then his brother, Albert, became king. And then his daughter, Elizabeth II, took over. So he kind of has a playboy reputation. He married Wallis Simpson, who basically is the reason why he abdicated the throne, because she was a thrice divorced American and they didn't like that. So regardless, he had very good taste, in my opinion, and he popularized the Fair Isle sweater. And something that I thought was interesting is that a woman moved there. She's French Venezuelan. Her name is Mati Ventrion. And her Fair Isle wait list for a sweater that she's making with the people of the island is 3 years long, if you want one.
Wow.
Well, there's only 50 people, and they can't all make sweaters, so.
Give them some Red Bull. Come on.
No, that is not right. We're fighting for people's rights, factory workers' rights.
Man, you're sensitive.
I know you're being funny.
I'm yoking.
I mean, they all vary a little bit, but for the most part, they have four colors, two in each row. And a lot of times it's like a curved design from the neck seam down to the chest. So that's just something to keep in mind, but I would just Google Fair Isle.
You know what? I'm not going to sell any more of those. If it's that rare.
It's not that it's that rare. Hers are brand new and made to the true like standards of what they originally were. After people started making them on the mainland.
Yeah, but you can't have that Fair Isle tag.
Well, we'll have to take a look.
Without it being made on Fair Isle. Yeah. Just so, kind of like a tweed jacket.
There goes the price of those, thanks to me.
Ching.
Next worth talking about is the cricket sweater. Some people call it the tennis sweater. Some people call it the golf sweater, but it's usually cream or off-white, cable knit, with a V-neck, and around the V-neck, there are stripes of color. Oddly enough, something else that Edward VIII popularized, he wore a sleeveless version while playing golf. And someone from America was there, and they saw him, and they kind of came back here, and it became a popular style here as well. So you hear the different sports.
Claiming it.
Yeah, I mean, I always called it a cricket sweater.
Tennis sweater, cricket sweater, polo did it, Tommy did it. Everyone's done that.
God, the preppy ass white guy sweater.
Yeah.
The wasp sweater.
I remember guys in high school having it, and then they would tie it around their neck, and then you could see the color stripe V on the back.
Oh, yeah. That's a total prep move.
Oh, yeah. And then I would run up from behind and pull on it.
And then last but not least is the varsity letter sweater, which.
That can't be the last.
Less.
Nope, I'm going to add one.
Okay, you're welcome to add some. Those are my notes.
Oh, gotcha.
For those of you who are in countries that don't do this sort of thing in the United States, if you are an athlete and you perform to the standard of a varsity athlete of your school, you're given a chenille and felt patch, and many times that gets put either on a varsity jacket or on a letter sweater, depending on, I guess, personal preference. But many a times it's put on a wool or like a wool blend sweater cardigan with buttons. And then there might be additional patches, like personalized patches specific to your sports or sometimes academics. I have my letter and pins. I never had the jacket or a sweater. Art does still have his varsity jacket, but I thought it was a unique one to point out because I feel like it's a strong cyclical trend. Like it comes back quicker than a lot of other trends.
True. And it's also, they didn't have the leather jackets until the 60s, late 60s, 70s. Mm-hmm. So they had letterman's cardigans. That's what there's not really too much of an overlap. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like you got A or B. That's the fact that in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, you only had a cardigan.
Okay.
Then they started with the jacket, and then there was a little bit of crossover in the 70s, and they used to have sweetheart cardigans too. So you would give your varsity cardigan to your sweetheart, and she'd wear it around oversized, you know, as a sign of...
Well, I just remember girls wearing their boyfriend's jackets.
Well, before that, in the 50s, you know, wearing them to the sock hops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have some soda pop.
Soda pop at the sock hop. Okay, yeah. What did you want to add?
Well, one of my favorite types of sweaters are the Icelandic or Norwegian sweaters.
Yeah,
the beautiful designs.
There's
and they
so
have
many
the,
different ethnic.
Yeah, and the clasps on those things. You know, they're very ornate. And I think you know what's when you were talking about the Fair Isle, that curved chest area.
Yeah.
I don't know what came first, the Icelandic one or that, because they both have that motif and I could see them trading because that's a trade route.
Yeah, I could see that as well. I mean, I think what stands out to me with the Icelandic and Norwegian ones is the fact that a lot of them have like tape on the button seams and the button cutouts, you know what I mean? Like a ribbon tape, like a floral, usually a black background with like red or green or yellow. And Fair Isle does not have that.
No.
So I think that that's the biggest standout is the clasps and the areas framing the clasps.
And then the fit too.
Yeah.
The Icelandic are a little tighter fit. Whereas the Fair Isle.
You know, there's also like different standout silhouettes of sweaters. You have bell sleeve sweaters, which a lot of people really like. You know, those big bell, it like opens up starting at the elbow, and then once you get to the wrist, it's very wide.
Right. I do love a shawl collar.
And shawl collar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't like those. I think it looks good on you. I think for me, just it's a little, I don't know.
It's a lot of fabric for such a small person.
Yeah, I think if you have a bigger frame, you can pull it off better. But if you're a smaller person with like a smaller neck, it's just a little overpowering.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have sweater vests, which I kind of talked about a little bit with like the golf sweater. You know?
So almost all the categories, for the most part, can have different materials that they're made of.
Different materials. Yeah, I mean, there's cotton cardigans, there's wool cardigans, there's blend cardigans.
I remember we used to have a liquor store when we were growing up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you have a liquor store, you deal with all kinds of people. And I was in eighth grade and when we had the liquor store and people would bring stuff to my dad. Hey, you know, they would bring coins, comic books, guns to buy so they can get beer or just money. And I remember one guy brought a box of sweaters and I'll never forget it my dad was so happy because he loved sweaters too. He always was wearing sweaters. So I got me a blue one and a red one. Just thinking, oh, this is cool. And it was a V-neck and it was real lightweight, but it kept me warm. Did not know what it was. So I wear it and my whole family has them. We're all wearing the same sweaters. We go to church. We all have that. And I finally go to ninth grade and one of my teachers is like, ooh, Dior. And I'm like, what? So they were all Christian Dior sweaters.
Oh, like the Monsieur Dior.
Yeah. No, yeah. Not the high end, but so she thought like, oh, they have money. I'm like, no, we don't got no money. We just got a free sweater for beer. So that was my earliest experience with Christian Dior.
Well, I like all the little brands too, all the different, like it's not just the Lacoste Alligator. Yeah. Like there's the Fox.
Crocodile. Yeah.
Is it an alligator or a crocodile?
Both. There's both. There's an alligator.
I always thought it was alligator.
Nope, there's a crocodile too.
There's a fox. I've seen a whale. Yeah, a whale's newer though. I think that's Hollister.
There's even the penguin. Munsingwear made them too.
Yes, Munsingwear. Yeah. I think I had a horse one at one point in time.
You know who made really nice ones was Puritan.
Yeah.
Beautiful, like block patterns and lines and solids. Yeah. People love those. And they had mohair too.
Yeah, I had a mohair cardigan that I think I brought in here.
So now when you're thrifting.
Yeah.
Would you say this is a category to definitely go into the sweater section?
Oh, I think it's a great place to find sweaters.
You know what? I agree too. Even back then when I would thrift.
Those are one of my favorite things probably to look at the thrift store.
And it's always usually like one of the cheaper items and you find more because there aren't that many people going for it.
When I was thrifting not many years ago, but enough. I think they were like $5 or $6.
Here, they're not that, you know, you're California.
So price lower?
Yeah, 99 cents, $1.99, $2.99.
yawned. I'm sorry.
So, I mean, you can get some great deals, but I like it is because it's not hit. It's a section that's not hit that often by others.
Yeah. Why are you making a face at me? I didn't yawn because you're boring.
Yeah.
I yawn because it's almost 5 o'clock. I'm tired.
Anyhow, so hit the sweater section. That's where you can get some treasures.
Yeah.
And, you know, look at the labels. Those will help you with identify how old things are as usual.
You know, just keep in mind content as well. Like, if something needs to be laundered, are you actually going to feel like doing that? You know?
Yeah.
Some people just don't have the patience for it. I love a cotton sweater. I think cotton sweaters are great if you live in a climate similar to where we live, where it's hot, but it does occasionally get a little cool.
Or if you have problems with natural fibers too, cotton.
Yeah.
You
know.
Yeah. Wool's a little rough on some people.
Yeah, I've gotten wool rashes before. A lot of people don't realize that when they buy it, and then they get all.
Well, some of the sheep have real bad eczema, so if they're not taking their medicine, it's just going to pass right on to you.
Sheep eczema.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else I want to add about sweaters? Let's see. Oh, I forgot to do our shout out.
Sweater dresses,
all different silhouettes.
That's right.
Sweater dusters. Okay, we have a new patron.
Wow. Hey,
yeah. Yes. Her name is Brandy, and her Instagram is @magnolia_moon_vintage.
Cool name.
Yes, @magnolia_moon_vintage. She did not give me a burning question for you, so you're off the hook this week.
I like to be on the hook.
Oh, well. She, you know, if anybody missed their question, didn't get it to me, you can get it to me anytime, and we'll just do it at a later episode. But if you would like to support the podcast, well, I have some good news here. You can do so. Just go to patron.podbean.com/mybestvintagelifepodcast. And if that's too much to remember, you can just Google the podcast name and patron and Podbean, or just patron. It should pop up. We now have 4 patron levels.
4.
We have our $2 level, which provides general support. We have our $5 level, which provides, let's see, what do you get for that? You get 2 bonus mini-sodes a month. You get a personal and or business shout out, and you get to ask Art a burning question. So that's lots of good stuff there. That's at the $5 level on the website. It's called Vintage VIP. And right now, our $20 level, which gets you the same amount of stuff as the $5 level, plus 30 minutes once a month with me, mentor call, there's a wait list. And you can actually wait list yourself on the website. You don't have to do it through me. And if you can do it on your own, I would appreciate it, because it's just too much for me to have to do that for people. But there is a wait list. So if you want to take advantage of that, get on the wait list. So that's the $20 level. And I added a $50 level. So what is the $50 level? Well, the $50 level is the same thing as the 20. Instead of half an hour, you're going to get an hour with me. I am running into the issue that a lot of people with at the 30-minute level, they're like rushing to get questions in the last 5 minutes, and then we're going over time. I personally think 1 hour is just going to be better in the long run, and probably at the start of the new year I will just convert it all to $50, 1 hour block of time, because it's just better. I think it's better for everyone, and it gives people a chance to not feel rushed. 30 minutes is kind of short, but in the meantime, if you're at the 30-minute $20 level, that's going to be around for a little while, so don't freak out or panic. And if you still want to get on that between now and the end of the year, there is a wait list for that. So take advantage of it. Don't say I didn't tell you or didn't warn you. And I did 2 spots at the $50 level for the 1 hour. So there's only 2 spots open. So if you want to take advantage of that, I wouldn't wait. The last spots filled up pretty quick. So totally up to you, but we really appreciate your support. I just added a new financial goal. I need to figure out, I think these mics might be shot, or my mic cords. Eventually, I do need to order the mic stands now that we've been funded for that. And then I think I'm just going to replace the mics in general. So, new financial goal.
And that's good.
Maybe some new headphones.
I like the headphones.
You like them?
I do.
Okay. They're kind of just cheapies that I bought when I first started doing this.
If it ain't broke. Yeah. Why spend extra money?
I know. It's just hard diagnosing what's wrong right now because there's so many cables in front of me. Are there any audio technical person people in Fresno? Reach out.
Yeah.
Did you have something you wanted to add? Or you?
No. No, I'm good.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, friends, in the meantime, stay safe, stay sane, stay healthy, be kind.
Don't be basic.
Don't be basic. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.